Hey, everyone knows Mark. Mark's been here countless times. And you know what? Some of the stuff we've been teaching over the last couple of weeks, Mark and I have had breakfast over. We've talked about parallel universes. We've talked about all that kind of thing. And you know what? He's coming to give us another facet of all of that, about the invisible qualities that God has for us. In himself, for us, and all those things. So, you know, I just want us to welcome him this morning and give him full liberty to go. Because, and I told him I've been going really short for you guys here lately. So there's a lot of time left on the clock. So he can use up as much of that time as he wants to. Okay.
Well, good morning. Wowee. I think the children live in their own parallel universe. I had been asked to come to a Bible college and serve in leadership position. And I became the president of this Bible college, which who even knows what that means. I was a pastor, but I had been transported. And... new to the community, Mount Vernon, Ohio. Any of you ever been there? From there? Yeah. And Mount Vernon's an interesting little community. In a matter of time, you pretty much can get to know a lot of people and what their lives are like. So we're new to the community, and I have four children, two sons, two daughters. When the last one was born, the ages were 4, 3, 2, and newborn. So we had a very active household. And, you know, I think, you know, kids, they just kind of live in this universe. And I, for some reason, I had one daughter that had it out for me from day one. Just, I'm going to get this guy. You know, anytime I can, I'm going to embarrass him. And so here we are in this new community, gone around and met neighbors and tried to make a good impression since we're going to be living there. And I came home one day, and that daughter was in trouble. And I said, "What happened?" "Well, your daughter went down to the corner store, and she bought a whole bunch of candy cigarettes. And when I was driving down the street, here was your daughter and one of the other kids, and they were puffing cigarettes like this." As the neighbors' eyes were watching them walk by their houses. Same daughter sitting at a table with a bunch of people at a restaurant, and somebody leaned over and said, "You better take care of your daughter down there." I thought, what has she done now? And I turned just there, and there she is, and she's looking at the waitress, and she says, "No, I want a beer. That's what I want." They live in their own universe, you know? It's a different world for kids, and I'm sure you have stories to tell as well. This morning, I want to talk about, I'd like for us to kind of move around in some of the qualities of God that are not visible, which is kind of difficult because then you've got to exercise faith, because we all know that faith is something that's not seen. It's a real substance, but it's not seen. So the scripture kind of helps us with that whole world. And I want us to kind of move around in a... I'm not going to be so scientific like Pastor's been for the last couple of weeks. And because I'm not a scientist. You know, and we could talk about the how quantum particles, you know, they form atoms, and then atoms form molecules, and then molecules form objects. Now, we could talk about those four elements, and basically that's what you are. Anytime you want to get mad at somebody since you've become a Christian, you don't cuss people out anymore. You know that, don't you? And if you're a new Christian, then you're just now learning. Amen. But you don't cuss them out anymore. What you do... Oh, it's wilting, huh? I'll
try this one.
Okay. Thanks. I didn't know that. Great. And so we have a new formula. If you want to get mad at somebody, just, you know, and you used to cuss them out, just turn around and say, "You quantum particle." You know, or you can look at him and say, all you are is a bunch of atoms. You know, I mean, there's a new language to learn. And while you're doing it, you're speaking truth because that's the case. You know, you're just a bunch of old matter. So there's a new way to talk. And when we talk about those four elements, here's the thing that's crazy to me. Science tells us that none of those things work. They don't work unless there's light. It's crazy. Quantum particles, atoms, molecules. Molecules become objects. So therefore, all of us here this morning are those four elements. But none of that works unless there's light. The Bible says that God is... How you doing this morning? I mean, it's kind of fun to think that through, isn't it? I mean, it may not be the high point of your week right now, but it's like, well, wait. God is light. Now, none of this works. It's interesting because the scientists will tell us that quantum particles with those next three elements, they don't operate by the laws of physics. What did I just say? They don't operate by the laws of physics. In other words, there's something about quantum particles that's greater than the laws of physics. Because none of that works unless there's light, and God is. So the Bible begins to help us understand that everything that we can see is the result of light, which is the result of what we would say the Creator, or God the Father. So kind of fun, isn't it? I mean, you don't mind a little bit of school, do you? No test. Hallelujah. You know, but that's just kind of like to work our way through that. Well, in the Scripture, we have some incredible things that go on, as you well know. And so let's turn this morning to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. This is the transfiguration. That's what this is about. This passage of Scripture we're going to read this morning, it's about the transfiguration. Verse 1, verse 17, Matthew. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and John, his brother, and led them to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Well, when Moses and Elijah appeared to them talking with him. I mean, this is already, it's like, what? Moses and Elijah have been gone from the earth for a long time. Moses was buried someplace, we still don't know. Elijah was taken up in a, you know, one of those things that creates those circles out there on different farms. You know, it's like a UFO came and just took Elijah. You have to know the story. But he was gone. He was translated. So Moses and Aaron appeared. And Peter's looking at this and he says to Jesus, man, Lord, this is so great. And we're so, you know, basically what he's saying is, and so we're so glad to be here. Hey, how about if I do this? If you wish, let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. What's he saying? He's saying, this is so great, let's just stay. Hallelujah. It's kind of like if you've ever had those times when a collection of Christians are together and you sense something that's beyond our human reasoning and it kind of vibrates us and makes us tingle, or we just have a great welling up of appreciation and love emotion for God the Father, Jesus, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's like, and I never want to leave this place. I was thinking this morning as I was driving into the parking lot, I'm so glad we're in this building now. When I first came, you were in another building, and it was okay. Kept the rain off your head when it would rain. But I just aren't you grateful for this building, for those of you who have been here for a long time, you know? Let's just stay. Wow. First of all, your appearance is incredible. And your clothes, when I get and there's Moses and Elijah. This is great. Let's don't ever leave this place. We call them what? Mountaintop experiences. Isn't that what we call them? Go to a camp or a retreat and you have a mountaintop and you don't ever want to come back down. Like, this is so wonderful. And while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Look at the response to this situation. Verse 6. When the disciples heard it, the voice, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. Here's another word, terrified. I mean, it's enough to have Jesus like, we don't even understand this. Look at his face. Who's ever seen that before like that? Look at his clothes. Whoa, Moses and Elijah. Wait, are you tracking with me? Do any of you believe what the Bible is telling us right now? Do you believe that this story is real, or do you believe it's fake? And that's your choice. So you choose to believe this. It's like, and Moses and Elijah is here? Oh my God. And then, boom! There's a voice that breaks the atmosphere, and they understand it. Suppose it was in Hebrew. They understand it, and they're just like, oh my goodness, you know, terrified, because the presence of God is so overwhelming, our mortality becomes obvious. You know, I mean, if I got right in front of your face and yelled as loud as I could, you'd have to be some kind of individual not to go. So when it's God's voice, not coming from a little human, but it's God's voice, and we have all this light going on and appearing, and he's in a cloud, but the cloud has a shimmering gleam to it, and now something of syllables are uttered by whom? It is God Almighty. Man, they're just like, oh, yahoo. And so Jesus came, touched them, and said, "Arise, do not be afraid." I think that's interesting. Okay, in other words, if he's saying to arise, where are they? And where are they, according to geography, where are they? So they're not on probably a parquet floor, carpet of any kind. It's the dirt. And they're not afraid about grass stains. They've just experienced something, and boom, they are down for the count. And Jesus comes along, and he says, okay, all right, now, not to be afraid any longer. You know, let's get up. Let me read this. Again, we have this insight that in the midst of all this what's going on, God is present in an invisible way. They hear a voice, but they don't see any form. And yet there is a form there that does represent him. And the form that is there that represents him is Jesus, Son of the Living God. So I am convinced that not only was this an experience for Peter, James, and John, and an experience probably no doubt for Moses and Elijah, but I'm thinking, as we just kind of pray and have the opportunity to be together and we like to talk about the things of the Lord, I think this can be significant to us in our everyday lives. And so with the Lord's help by His Spirit, let's get there. Transfiguration, the word in Greek, well, let's just condense it, and it means this, metamorphosis. So metamorphosis, that's, you know, the transfer, something that's completely changing its appearance. So when this was written in that language, that's what they were thinking with an Eastern mindset. That's what they're thinking. They're saying, okay, wow, look at this. Metamorphosis, transfiguration. Okay, it's, what is it? It's the caterpillar becoming a butterfly. That is metamorphosis. That is transfiguration. So Jesus went through a metamorphosis on different occasions. When He left the glories in heavens, the scripture said He became a human, lived among us, share our pain and suffering, our hungers and temptations. 33 and a half years He lives on the face of the earth in human form and willingly chose to do that. So amazing. Jesus does that. And then here's this metamorphosis. He's transfigured before them. You know, the only sound effect that comes to me when I think about this is, because that has something to do with electricity and light to me. Maybe not to you, but it's just like, I'm sure it would be a different service from this moment on if I could be transfigured. You'd go, oh my goodness, look at that. He looks so much better. He's thinner. He's got hair. Wow, this is great. What a metamorphosis, huh? So, John says, I saw His glory. See, years later in the first chapter of John, verse 14, he says, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of two things. He was full of grace and truth. Does that make you think of your neighbor? Grace and truth, that's one of those invisible qualities of the Father. And if we hang out with God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit, if we hang out with them, do you think there is any way possible that those qualities might begin to work into us and we could be on our way to becoming people, a person who was full of grace and truth? Be wonderful, wouldn't it? You know, I mean, if you're married, you're probably saying, yes, that would be wonderful. If you're single and you hang out with different people, yes, that would be wonderful. You know, to be a person full of grace and truth. What's it like to be around somebody like that? So that's what the apostles, so John is saying, so He was full of grace and truth. We beheld His, let's connect the three together. We beheld His glory. Glory has grace and truth in it. Well, I can see that some of you aren't impressed, but it's amazing anyway. See, John knew what he was talking about, for on the mountainside they had seen Jesus transfigured, His appearance changing dramatically, His face and clothing just illuminating. And just as that happened, Moses and Elijah, they're there. And so with all this going on, he's saying, man, I have seen the glory of God. He could say it this way, I have seen, don't you like this? I have seen the light. went on. A week before the transfiguration, Jesus had asked the apostles this question, "Hey, who do people say that I am?" They replied, "Well, some say Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Some people say you're John the Baptist come back from the dead." Head reattached. Jesus answered them. Thank you. Jesus answered them. Now I know who the sharp ones are in this group. And Jesus answered them, "But what about you? Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered and said, "Well, you are Christ, Son of the living God." Kind of wondered how the other apostles reacted when Peter said that. You know, did they all join in and say, "That's right, Jesus is the Son of the living God"? I mean, that's, boy, you've got it. Or do you think like they said, "Well, yeah, you know, I'm still coming to that place." Even after all the... wow, is that a car outside? With a, man, I can't wait till they get in here. And they're coming. They might be coming right through that wall. Be careful over there. So he says he is Christ, Son of the living God. And, you know, I think one of the great problems with humanity is their humanity. You know, do you know anybody that has trouble with their humanity? Yeah. You know, but John has had insight and a revelation and an experience, and he says with Peter, "I have seen his glory. He is the Son of the living God. I have seen his glory." He was convinced. So here's where we might think for a moment. Are we convinced? It's one thing to recognize that God put the sun and the moon in its place, stars. Recognize that God made us and appreciates the beauty of his creation. That's one thing, you know, to do that. Thank goodness, when we got saved, we became aware of our condition before God Almighty. I'm going to say it again. Thank goodness we got saved, because we got saved, we realized our condition before God Almighty. What was our condition? We were full of sin. Okay? What's sin? It's a bunch of crud. Sin will make other people unhappy. The sin in your life will make other people miserable. What is our reputation in town? Oh, so-and-so, that's the person around who goes about doing good for other people at all times. That's how people know us in the community, don't they? So, if we're full of sin, boy, that affects the people around us. I can tell you want me to get off of this point right now. Okay, so let's move on. Because it is uncomfortable, isn't it? Don't talk about my sin. Don't talk about the things in my life that make other people miserable. And by the way, if you don't know that you're making other people miserable, just ask them. It's one thing to recognize that there is a God of order who is in control, but it's another thing to recognize that God became one of us. Say it with me. God became one of us. We are his creation. He became one of us. So let's work with this just quickly. If he became one of us, then Jesus' prayer that he prays just before going to the crucifixion, he says, "So, Father in heaven, I pray that for my disciples and for those who believe in me and those who will come after them," and he's speaking of all generations of men and women, until his second appearance, he is saying, let them be one as we are one. He was talking to God. God is what? He's light. So he's talking to light, who God, the essence of God. What does light do? It reveals, does it not? So that's why it's so wonderful to have the Lord in us, because it keeps revealing the darkness in our life so that we can get it straightened out. Can't straighten out darkness, so we can get it rearranged. So we can put in there where there's darkness, light. Basically, we can put truth in there. So this is good. It's good to learn how to read so that we can read the Scripture, so that we can understand the Scripture, so it can help put the light in the place where there's darkness. Okay, so if you've never been told not to lie, when something comes along and says, now look, it's not good to lie, and here are the reasons why, then you say, oh, okay, no more lying. Don't you love it? You know? I don't know about you, but, and this is not necessarily a wonderful testimony, I used to be a pretty good liar. I could tell them. Sorry to admit it. But when I found out, like, that, now that's really wrong. No, that's not to be a part of your life. Then light came in where that darkness was, and it started affecting me. I lie a lot less now. Don't you love that honesty? Huh? Yeah. That's because of the light. God is in us. I really am going somewhere with this. It's going to take me a couple more minutes to get there, but we're almost there. I've met people in my lifetime who could orate in a masterful way. They could lay things out. Different kinds of evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But there's been occasions when listening to their expertise in oratory and laying out things in such a well-constructed way, towards the end I begin to realize they sure do that wonderful, but they're not standing in awe of God. It's as though they hadn't had that personal experience of understanding His glory. Because when we understand, when we believe that the glory of God is in us, it can change our behavior and our outlook on life. Don't have to go into any more seminars. Don't, you know, you can just say, my goodness, the glory of God. Jesus' prayer is answered. Do you think that Jesus' prayer could be answered? I pray that there'd be one as we are one. Have you even thought about it in the last week? And so, wow. Okay. We are one with the Father. Father is one with us. Okay. So let's go. So again, the intangible, the invisible quality of God is real in us because there's some change happening to us. Our neighbors wish it would happen a lot quicker, but at least there's change happening. And it wouldn't happen unless there was some glory in us. Glory of God. We need to see His glory. So, you remember the Apostle Philip? He comes along. And this is, again, just shortly before the crucifixion. And he says to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. For those of you who have been reading your Bible, you may be aware of this. It's in John 14, verses 8 and 9. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Even after I've been with you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen... Remember what it says? Anybody who has seen me has seen who? Anyone who has seen me has seen who? The Father. When we see Jesus, we know what God is like, for Jesus came to reflect and reveal God to us. So if God is light, what's Jesus? What's the Holy Spirit? What are we? Come on. Okay, we're light. Not matter-wise. I get another sharp one over here. But we have light because we're connected. So wherever we go, what comes with us? So wherever we are, what are we doing? I mean, this is good lunch talk later on today when you have lunch, if you still eat. You know, it's like, oh my goodness, this is, it's like, wow. Light, wherever we are. Well, basically, we could have, you know, but the church is on earth because the church collectively represents light. So wherever we go, now we can have some strong terminology. Wherever we go, we're invading the darkness. I had to give you a little preacher style there. Wherever we go, we're invading the darkness. Well, it's true. Regardless of how you say it or emphasize it, wherever we go, we are invading the darkness because we are coming as what? I don't know. There's just something about him or her. I don't know. Just like, I. What is it with you? What do you mean? I don't know. It's just something when you come in the room, I, you know. What is it? It's the light. Light. You see? Now, even though we don't have the sound effects or anything, where are we going? And it's even better when we're aware that that's what's happening. Let me say it again. And it's even better when we're aware personally. Let me say it again. This is the emphasis part here. Let me say it again. It's even better when we're conscious that light is coming in to a setting where we are. Invisible but real. Don't you love it? Could you turn to somebody and say, I love it? Tell them this, and I love you. Yeah, you weren't so quick to respond that time. Let's keep moving here. And I love you. Okay. If we do not think this way, we'll try to create it some other way. No, we will. We'll grab it. We'll try to create something that gives us significance. It's like, well, I know God's real, but I can't touch that invisible quality of him. And so we'll invent things. We'll see his face on a tortilla. And we'll take the tortilla to the priest. Ah! Blessings on the tortilla. Takes it back home. Puts a little cotton around it like it's the clouds. And there's the face of Jesus. And people come and pray to the thing. You see, if we do not believe what I've been talking about for the last 20 minutes, we'll go out and try to create it some other way. In Poland, there was a guy came to a tree, saw a face in an image, thought it was Mother Mary. He was a cripple. Took his crutches off, tied him to the tree, and said, Mother Mary healed him. Came back, told everybody in the neighborhood. They started coming out to the tree, praying for Mother Mary to heal him. 60 miles away, another tree, same kind of figure, happened, and so people start going to that tree. In other words, if we do not understand the essence of the light is already in us, we'll go out and create it some other way. I don't know if you saw any of those scenes, but I was amazed to see people throwing their money and saying, oh my goodness. Well, we need to realize that we have a share in this glory. So, here's what Jesus says. Incredible words. John 17, verses 1, 4, and 5. He prays for us. I have given them the glory you gave me. No, that should be our response. But we're, you guys are just too cool. Where are y'all from, England or something? Jesus prays this and says this, I have given them the glory you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. No one in the room here is going, hot diggity dog. What does it take to get you excited? Oh, $1,000 bill. Watch you jump. Oh, a diamond. Oh, here's a Ferrari. You know, it's like, it's amazing. But to say that we have the glory of God, there we go. See, I mean, it's an awakening, isn't it? That's what needs to happen, because Jesus said it. He is the giver of life. And not just life presently, but life eternal. So our lights are gonna shine forever. Light. I don't know if you remember, this is a gal out of the past, but her name was Irma Bombeck. Maybe some of you remember her. She was asked this question, if you could live your life over, would you change anything? And her first answer was no. Wouldn't change a thing. And she got to thinking it over. She says, wait a minute. I think I would change some things. I would wax less and listen more. I would never have insisted the car windows be rolled up on a summer day because my hair had just been teased and sprayed. I would have invited friends over to dinner, even if the carpet was stained and the sofa faded. I would have eaten popcorn in the good living room and worried less about the dirt that was falling in my different rooms. I would have taken time to listen to my grandfather ramble about his youth. I would have sat cross-legged on the lawn with my children and never worried about grass stains. I would have cried and laughed less while watching TV or more while watching real life. I would have eaten less cottage cheese and more ice cream. I would have gone to bed when I was sick instead of pretending the earth would go into a holding pattern if I weren't there for a day. I would have never bought anything just because it was practical or would not soil or was guaranteed to last a lifetime. But mostly, given another shot to life, I would seize every minute of it. Look at it. She says, so I would have seized every minute of life. I would have looked at it to really see, to try to live on that moment of life, live it, exhaust it, and never give the minute back until there was nothing more left of it. You see, it's not with great trumpets and magnificent choirs, but it's in the simple acts of service that we reveal and reflect the glory of God. You see, Jesus said to Peter, we're not building any apartments up here. we're not going to just stay here, because Jesus knew, that down at the bottom of the hill there was a sick boy and his father was waiting for him. And they were going to go down there and relieve this boy of all the torturous spiritual things that were wrong with this boy and bring relief and healing. The glory of God. So let's don't drive like other people anymore. Let's let the person cut in front of us. Let's don't speed up when they're trying to go around us. Let's don't be like everybody else. Let's tell the truth instead of telling lies. Let's don't be like anybody else. When your neighbors are hollering, let's don't holler back at them. Let's get on our knees and pray for them. And let our light shine. So, Father, it's amazing that you can touch every part of us, including our emotions. That your truth affects us. And we're so grateful. We're grateful to be your people. We're grateful for the life that you've given us. We're grateful that you've answered Jesus' prayer, that we are one with you. We're light. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Give you praise this morning. And the lights say, Amen. Pastor.
I was reading C.S. Lewis yesterday, actually listening to a CD of him on Mere Christianity. And the subject of he's dealing with evolution and the world's question coming back, if evolution is true, then why don't we see the continuance of it? And I'd never heard it that way. It was when the moment we accept Jesus Christ, the evolutionary process begins all again. Because now we're coming into becoming what God has called us to be. That a world was broken and He could not leave us that way. And there's this part that He comes to say, there's a work I want to complete and finish. And how evolution, if we want to look at it, starts for us is the moment we accept Christ. And the process of it being instantaneous is true, but in reality with us waking up to it. Mark, that was great. That anywhere I go, I invade darkness. Darkness never controls light, but light controls darkness. We don't leave the room and say, I'm going to turn the darkness on. We enter the room and we're light. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning for a very, very good word and the realization that on a mountaintop they hear Christ. They see Moses, Elijah, and then they hear God. And how that just rattled their cage, so to speak. And with us, Father, let us hear your voice, that it rattles our life. That there's more than just sun rising and sun setting. There's more to this world in life than what's just what we call tangible. But in that realm where you walk hand in hand with us. Father, let our eyes be opened even more so. And Lord, you also said that in your presence there's goodness, there's joy, there's also healing, and there's also all those other things this morning. So Father, as we just are coming to a point of dismissing, Lord, I do want for us to have prayer. And then when we do, Father, you reveal yourself in that area. And we just ask you in Jesus' name, amen. You can stand if you would as we're about to be dismissed. But I do want some guys in the church to come over here and pray for Dave. Dave's going into surgery again in the morning for what, your third back surgery. And they're going to have to remove some of one of his joints that's decaying and crushing. And we're just asking for prayer in there. And that God would absolutely touch him. If there's someone else that needs some prayer, just gather with them. If CJ, if you'll come over with them. And Mickey's just going to play, and we're just going to... Mickey will dismiss us, but give us some time to pray. This is the one thing that it says, just simply in the Word of God, that we're told. that if there are any sick among you, let them come to the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil and pray, and they'll recover. Listen, our job is only to anoint and pray. It's not our faith anyway. What Paul tells us, he says, I was crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. But that life I live is not me, but it's Christ in me. And I live that life not because I have faith in Jesus, but I live that life by the faith of Jesus.
You were, you